Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk this July the 7th, Tuesday, as the Pelicans get ready for summer league action. Happy to open up this hour. Welcome him in, Jim Eichenhofer, writer for Pelicans.com and host of the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Jim, how's it going, man? Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. Boy, it's been a quiet last couple of weeks. I think this is the last time I saw you on draft night. Nothing's happened since then. It's been real calm.
Yeah, this roster makeover for this Pelican squad has been quite impressive. Curious, you know, before we get into some of these young guys that they've brought in, a veteran addition of a guy like Kevon Looney, really needed presence for this team that was struggling with on the boards last season. And Charlie and I have talked about this. We laughed at some of the criticism from some national media folks for this signing. To me, it was one of the smartest moves I feel like the Pels have made, bringing in this vet that can provide not only that leadership in the locker room, but a guy that's been there, done that, the championships, and also, like I mentioned, just the rebounding capabilities, able to do that dirty work for this squad.
Yeah, I mean, I think I need to double-check this, but with the trade of C.J. McCollum and Kelly Olynyk, I think Kevon Looney is now the oldest player on the team at just 29.
Right.
And he's been in the league for 10 years. He's been on three championship teams and four or five Warriors teams that made the finals during his tenure there. So, no, I think you're right. I think it's important that they have some leadership that he can provide. He definitely doesn't seem, from what I've heard about him, like a real talkative guy, but more of a leader by example and somebody that when he does speak, everybody pays attention to it. And I think also, too, more tangibly, you mentioned the rebounding. They were 29th in rebounding, 29th in defense, the Pelicans last season. So, I mean, he's been one of the best per-minute rebounders in the league throughout his career. So I think the rebounding and the defense kind of goes hand in hand. I mean, they did a poor job of getting stops at the defensive end last season. It was compounded by how many offensive rebounds they gave up as well. So I definitely think that he can help. I mean, I remember, I'm sure Pelicans fans remember, several times where, especially when the Pelicans played out in San Francisco or Oakland before that, that he would kill the Pelicans with offensive rebounds. So I'm happy to have him be on the Pelicans as opposed to somebody that you have to try to box out and keep him off the glass.
Jim, before we get into the summer league and the entire offseason process, which is really funny because it's just one thing after the next, after the next, after the next for basically a month, I just want to get your thoughts on the moratorium period being over. We can finally talk about the Washington trade and bringing in Sadiq Bey and Jordan Poole and Micah Peavy, the 40th overall pick from this past year's draft. First and foremost, I think the premium asset here, Jordan Poole, he is very, very divisive as a player because people that like him think that he can be, you know, the third best player on a championship team like he was back in 2022. And then the detractors say that, you know, you watch what he did in Washington. He had solid numbers with the Wizards, but it was just kind of the empty calorie numbers where it didn't contribute to winning in a meaningful way with the Wizards organization. So what do you think about Jordan Poole first and foremost? And then we'll get into Sadiq Bey and then Micah Peavy as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think even his 2 years in Washington were kind of divisive in terms of his first year. I think he really struggled. I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would think that he would even say that he had a rough debut season with the Wizards, but he was much better last year. I think a lot of people didn't notice it because the Wizards, I mean, people stop paying attention to teams that are out of the race very early in the season. And I mean, they pretty much telegraphed going into the year that they weren't going to be a playoff team or even a contender probably for the play-in. But I thought he was much better last season. I think people that watched the Wizards a year ago said that his efficiency went way up. He shot 38% from three-point range, for example. But, I mean, for me, I've kind of looked at him as kind of one of those guys where he's been kind of a situational guy where he's – I'm not sure. It seems like he's kind of on the edge of, is he an instant offense six man or is he a starter? I think he might get the opportunity to prove that he's the latter with the Pelicans, and obviously he started with the Wizards the last couple of years. But as you mentioned, they didn't win a lot of games. I don't know how many players you could have slotted in for him in that position and had the Wizards win that much more than they did. I mean, they just had a lot of holes, and they were also going with a lot of young players. But I'm the thing I'm the most curious about him to watch. I mean, obviously he played with good players in Golden State, but just to see the way that he plays off of Zion Williamson, Trey Murphy, some of the talent that's here, it's not going to be the way it was in Washington, where other teams went into the game with a game plan of let's try to shut him down or make him be inefficient, have like a 5-for-18 game, and we'll win this easily. I think he's not going to have as much defensive attention on him as he did the previous 2 years with Washington.
And then Sadiq Bey, the other veteran piece of that move with the Washington Wizards, that trade. You know, he's a really interesting player because he had a great start to his career in Detroit. By the way, the connection with Troy Weaver with the Pistons is there, obviously. And then also, you know, he moves on with the Wizards, so he's got the connection there with Weaver from 2024. But really, really strong start to his career in Detroit. Suffers the ACL tear in Atlanta, and then he misses basically all of last year. If he can come back and be basically 90% of the player that he was early on in his career with Detroit, I think that you have something here with Sadiq Bey as at least a bench wing.
Yeah, I think he's a solid reserve. I think he's proved over his career that he's a guy that definitely at the very least can play 15, 20 minutes a game. His last season that he was on the court with Atlanta, he was, I think, basically like their eighth man or so on a team that made the playoffs and lost in the first round. But yeah, I think he was a guy who was picked pretty high in the first round. I can't remember if he was lottery or close to it, but I thought he has potential to be a productive reserve. I mean, I think he's hopefully part of the solution to the bench had a massive drop off last season, but a lot of that, of course, was because of injuries. So I see him as somebody that they definitely can rely on to be, you know, consistently productive night in and night out.
Jim, now looking at the Summer League, first off, the coach is going to be Corey Brewer. And I mean, I know him as a player and realize he's been with the Pelicans now since 2020 as an assistant coach. But what are your impressions of him now taking on these reins as the Summer League coach?
Yeah, I think people that remember him as a player, if it's possible to be that way as a coach, I think that's what he is in terms of just a really energetic guy that, I mean, as a player, he was one of the fastest players in the league, and you could count on him to be somebody that would, you know, score a bunch of points on fast breaks, run around the court on defense, get in people's faces. He was assigned difficult assignments at that end of the floor a lot. He just seems like he's one of these guys that just comes in all the time and has a lot of energy. I think as an assistant coach, he's definitely one of the players or one of the coaches that the players say is always kind of joking with them and maybe even talking a little trash when they have shooting games. So I find him to be very enjoyable to be around. He's a pretty funny guy. And I'm sure he's looking forward to this opportunity that you don't get too often to be a head coach during Summer League.
Talked about quickness and speed. That's the first thing that came out of his mouth when he was talking about Jeremiah Fears and the first observations of the rookie point guard at practices ahead of the Summer League. With the Summer League in Las Vegas, we've talked with different reporters about this. It always feels like guards are put on full display, and you get to see early and often the talented and really elite guards, you know, kind of put a name for themselves at the Summer League. Mm-hmm. Looking ahead to this week and the next couple of weeks with Jeremiah Fears, your expectations for the young point guard out of Oklahoma who the Pels took 7th overall?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to watching him play. I've gotten to see him play in practices, and it doesn't surprise me because from the video I watched of him at Oklahoma, his ball handling is really good. He seems like he can get anywhere on the floor. So, I mean, he's really quick. That's a big part of it too, but he's just got such a tight handle that it seems like the ball is kind of part of him. So I'm curious to see him play Thursday against Minnesota and for people to get an opportunity to watch him play against other NBA players. I mean, I think he's really talented. I don't know exactly. I'm not a basketball scout per se, but I don't know exactly how soon he's going to be ready. But I do think that there's going to be a time when people say that this was a really good pick because this guy has a ton of talent. He can score. He can shoot. I think he's improving in that part of the game. I'm really excited about him. I think can't remember if I had mentioned this on draft night to you guys, but he was who I wanted at the 7th pick. So I mean, I'm pretty much all in on Jeremiah Fears as I have been even from maybe a few days before the first round of the draft.
another guy everybody is definitely itching to see, get a glimpse of, is the move that's kind of shook the NBA world with the Pelicans trading next year's first-round pick to move up in order to secure Derek Queen. Wondering what you've seen from him so far in these practices leading up to summer league play and what you think we're going to see on display in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I spoke to his coach at Maryland, Kevin Willard, and he talked a lot about how you can't really speed him up. He kind of plays at his own pace. And I think it's kind of like two sides of the coin with him. People often say, you know, he's not very athletic. He doesn't seem like he has really quick feet. But I noticed from watching him a little bit here and there the last couple of days that he's always under control, and he can always kind of make a decision at the last second because he's not going so fast that he's already committed to making a decision. So I think the players definitely already respect his basketball IQ and his passing. I've also noticed, too, off the dribble, this was something that people talked a little bit about in his college season of why he was such a good scorer. He could put the ball on the floor, too. So, I mean, he definitely has a pretty wide array of skills and talent. So, again, just like with Fears, I'm really curious to see him play against other NBA players and you know, kind of going up against the level of athleticism, even in summer league, that you have to face. But, I mean, from what I've seen so far, I definitely am optimistic about him. And by the way, Steve, it's funny you said, you know, the trade that shook the NBA world. And it's funny because I do think that it's unbelievable the amount of opinions that people have had on the trade. And I don't think it should have been that much of a, I don't know, groundbreaking, volcanic-type move. But it really seems like it has been based on the way that people have reacted to it.
Oh, yeah.
You can blame the Ringer for that one. Jim, you know, easy. And all the buzz from early on this week has been his kind of development physically and the amount of weight that he put on. And he talked about it when speaking to the media that was one of his main goals, was putting on the weight to be able to body up with opposing centers this upcoming season for an 82-game schedule. Eve Misi is someone that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I don't think that we expected him to really be on the summer league roster, but here he is, and he's going to be in Vegas. So kind of two-part question here. First and foremost, your expectations for Eve ahead of his second campaign, because it feels like he's primed to make a leap. And then also the second part, how much run do you think he's going to get in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the latter question yet. I'm not sure if he's going to be somebody that plays the entire league, or we see sometimes with guys who are veterans or at least had one really good rookie year like he did, that they play the first couple games and then they sit out the rest of the time. But in terms of what I want to see from him, I think just carrying over some of the increased muscle and weight that he has. I think sometimes some of his foul trouble that he got in, especially at the beginning of his rookie season, was, you know, he can kind of get pushed around a little bit. I mean, he's only 19, 20 years old. So just kind of applying some of his strengths. And I want to see him, you know, expand what he does offensively a little bit beyond. I mean, it's fine that he was really just – he was an opportunistic offensive player. He was a lob threat that scored on alley-oops and putbacks and stuff like that. But I think he can – we saw him try to bring out the little hook shot and the drop step and the reverse layup during the regular season last year. So maybe he can do that a little bit more in summer league in the games that he plays.
Pelicans have that first game on Thursday in the Las Vegas Summer League. Curious, Jim, have you seen – the ticket prices, though, for the Cooper Flagg versus Bronny James Summer League matchup, the prices are insane.
I heard somebody talking about that today, about how the courtside tickets are, is it a couple thousand or something like that?
$2,500 courtside, $650 for lower bowl.
Yeah,
what?
That's unbelievable. Yeah, that's unbelievable for a Summer League game. Yeah, I mean, the Lakers game's there. I've been, I don't know how many years I've been there at this point, almost every year since I started working here in 2005. The Lakers games are usually pretty crazy in terms of there's so many Lakers fans because of the proximity to Las Vegas, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like for that game with Cooper Flagg making his debut at the same time that the Lakers are playing and Bronny's playing. The Pelicans play at 2:30 Central, and I think that game is at 7:30 Central. So I have a big debate on my hands of whether I should stick. It's in the same arena too. So whether I should stick around all day to catch that in person or whether I should head back to the hotel. I guess I'll have to decide that on Thursday.
You know, before we let you run, Jim, DraftKings released the preseason over-under win totals for the NBA, which Feels like it's maybe a little bit early for that, but that's besides the point. They have the Pelicans with 31.5, and I remember speaking with Joel Myers a couple of weeks back that he kind of echoed a lot of sentiments that we share, is that, you know, this Pelicans team with the talent that they boast on this roster are kind of closer to the 49-win team that they were 2 years ago than they were the 21-win team this past year. Just your general perspective on the Pelicans, 31.5 wins total. It's the sixth lowest, only ahead of the Suns, Hornets, Nets, Wizards, and Jazz, and it just feels a little bit low.
Yeah, that does feel low. I mean, it's interesting. You said the Suns and the Jazz are lower. I have seen a lot of 14th place for the Pelicans in the West, meaning the Utah is the only team picked below them. But in terms of the win projection, I mean, I would agree with Joel on that. That I think the 21 wins that they got last season is such a complicated number. You can't just say, oh, they won 21 games, so they're terrible. There was, obviously, we know the injuries was a huge factor. And then at the end of the season, I mean, I think they went 4-17 in their last 21 games at the point where they had no chance to make the play-in or extend their season. So I just think that if you're – I think a lot of that 31.5 is based on the 21 number, which I get it. I mean, you have to have a baseline that you start from somewhere. But I think even the 21 is just so skewed that they could have, should have, would have won a lot more games than that if the injuries hadn't been so widespread. So, yeah, I think 31.5 is low. But I think I'm really curious to see where people project them to be in the West, because if I keep seeing 14th in the West, I'm going to post all of those like in the locker room everywhere, because I feel like that should be good motivation for a team that's had a good amount of success in recent years, but obviously last year was a huge crash towards the bottom of the standings because of injuries.
Jim, thanks so much for your time today, man. When are you heading out to Las Vegas?
I'm actually leaving tomorrow night.
Enjoy the time out there and the hoops.
I will. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be there for the first couple Pelicans games, and it should be a good time. I'm really eager to watch the three rookies and the two lottery picks play.
We'll definitely be following you on social media. Thanks again for the time, Jim.
Thanks, Steve.
Jim Eichenheifer, writer for thepelicans.com, also host of the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. You can follow him on X at Jim_Eichenhofer. That's EICHENHOFER, Eichenhofer. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll get back into our Pelican Sound Bank when we get back after this. Hear from the Summer League head coach, Corey Brewer, on what he has to say when we get back after the break here on WWL.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
If you missed out on this, any segment on the show, don't forget you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. You can listen all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Just download the Odyssey app and follow Bobby Hebert. It is that easy, folks. We realize you can't always listen to this entire show live, so Odyssey just makes it easy for you to listen when you want and how you want. That goes for this show or any of the WWL shows that you love. Download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or you can just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. We've been breaking down the Las Vegas Summer League, about to tip off on Thursday. You heard Jim Eichenhofer of thepelicans.com. He's going to be heading out there tomorrow. First game for the Pellies, a 2:30 Central time tip-off. They are taking on, who's their first matchup against, Charlie, in Summer League?
Minnesota.
The T-Wolves, first up.
Did the Timberwolves have a rookie draft pick this year in the first round? I don't remember if they did. I don't think they did.
I don't recall the T-Wolves picking in round one. I definitely have to double-check.
It's not like a premium matchup.
Right, right.
You're playing Philadelphia and VJ Edgecombe, for instance, or Ace Bailey with the Utah Jazz.
Maybe that's why they put us at 2:30.
Yeah, maybe so. But at the same time, Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen are two lottery picks for this Pelicans Summer League roster, which, I mean, that makes them at least a little bit intriguing.
Well, the fun thing right now, as you know, is everybody's just bashing the Pelicans any way they can.
Yeah, I know. It's the popular.
We'll see what happens when they miraculously turn things around and start to get on a roll here, and people start recognizing.
It's always been kind of silly to just take the ultimate pessimist perspective of the trade.
Follow the herd mentality.
It's like what Jim had kind of mentioned there. It's like nobody's choosing to look at any other way than the Pelicans are going to be one of the three worst teams in the NBA this year. So, like, look at the roster. The talent's there.
A guy managing that roster at Las Vegas in the Summer League, Corey Brewer, an assistant on this Pels coaching staff, is being the head coach in Summer League play. He talked at practice today specifically about guys Hunter Dickinson, Trey Alexander, and Christian Schumat. Here's all of Corey Brewer's availability at Pels practice this afternoon.
What have you seen from Hunter that you liked and excited about him being a part of the team?
Hunter's big, skilled. He can really score. You know, we've seen what he did in college. Hunter's a good player. And, it's great we got him on the two-way. And I think he's going to be a good addition to the Pelicans.
How much is his experience, like, playing 4 or 5 years in college, like, how much do you see that translate to, like, maybe his transition to this level?
You can tell he's older and he's more mature. So guys like that, you know, they pick up on stuff a lot quicker than younger guys just because they've been playing basketball for a long time. Like, and usually in college, you're there for 4 or 5 years, you're learning, you're doing drills all the time. So, you know, he's ready to play right away.
He talked about being able to space the floor, but maybe between him, Eve, Queen, like how much value does his height and size bring to that?
It brings a lot of value, like, because he can space the floor. So he can shoot, we can do a lot of different things. You know, Jeremiah's going to have more space because, you know, with him being able to shoot, the big man can't just play in the lane. He got to come out. So it helps us.
With Trey, he comes in another two-way, but he has that year of experience in the NBA. What have you seen from him on the floor and in terms of his ability to kind of
Trey is really confident. He can really score the basketball. I think he proved it in the G League last year, you know, being up there with Denver. Like, he can score the basketball. And anytime you can score the basketball, it's a good thing.
And then with Christian and his ability, what's made him impress you the most with him?
Impress me the most? He's been shooting it. Man, he's making shots. And, you know, in college, he wasn't really known as a shooter, but the last 3 days, he's really shot the ball amazing. And he's athletic. So he's really helped himself. Christian's really been the surprise and really helped himself out.
Have you seen a good glimpse of his athleticism in practice? Have you thrown it down at impressed
you? Oh, man, he caught one off the rim yesterday, and I was just like, he's a real athlete. You know, some dudes are athletic, and then you got athletes. He's an athlete.
He said in this stretch alone, he's noticed that he's more versatile than he really thought. Have you seen that too?
I have, because I was thinking he was more of a big man, but he's proven he has guard skills, and he can do a lot of different things. And I think for guys like that, when you're in college, you kind of get put in a box, and then when you get out here and you're able to, you know, do different things, you surprise yourself. And I think he has surprised himself, and that confidence is going to help him.
Maybe being out of proximity, being only like 3-ish hours down the road, how much have you been able to see him in season?
I've seen him in these, you know, Lil Wade was coaching. Yeah. You know, they had it going up there, so I watched some games. So I knew he could play, but I'm telling you, the shooting, the way he's been shooting is, like, he's really got better.
That was Corey Brewer, the Summer League head coach for the Pellies. And you heard them there talking at the end about a guy from McNeese, Christian Schumat. Interested to see what the 6'6" guard, originally from Chicago Heights, Illinois, can do in Summer League play to maybe impress and earn at least a spot with the Birmingham squadron.
Right. And these two-way pieces as well.
Right.
Like you had mentioned with Hunter Dickinson, too. Someone that's been a long time at the college level. There's a couple different pieces here that are going to be able to kind of put a name for themselves out in the Summer League. It's not just going to be those top picks. I know that we've been highlighting the two lottery selections because obviously those are the two that we're keeping the biggest eye on. And then Micah Peavy, the second round pick. But
right,
a lot of these signings that they've made in recent, you know, days that they've added to the Summer League roster to fill out that 15-man group, these guys are going to be trying to put tape out there, not just for the Pelicans, but for the rest of the NBA to say, hey, I deserve a two-way spot at least on whatever team is willing to give it to him. So, yeah, a few players kind of in the back end of the Summer League roster that are going to try to make a name for themselves, Steve.
One of the more interesting years, I think, for Summer League action because you have the draft picks along with just a lot of uncertainty with this Pels roster that need to add, like, some significant depth pieces going forward here because, I mean, last year things, they just got decimated because of injuries and the lack of depth really hurt this squad.
And I think that they may have potentially found, and I don't want to, you know, jump over the horse too soon, that they may have found a really strong depth wing with Micah Peavy. Steve, everything that you hear about him, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, is that he's tenacious. And he's willing to put in the effort and the work to be a legitimate NBA defender right off the bat. He's going to be 24 years old next week. Steve, so he's an older, you know, rookie. That's why he was a second-round pick. At the same time, what can he provide you offensively? That's also why he fell into the second round. But we know what Willie Green values in players. And if he can play defense as a rookie, which it sounds like Micah Peavy very well can, he's going to be someone that to keep an eye on for the Pelicans' rotation for the wing spots behind Herb Jones and Trey Murphy. We know that Sadiq Bey is likely going to take up one of those spots as well. But maybe Micah Peavy has something to say about earning a spot on this Pelicans' rotation right off the bat in his rookie campaign.
You mentioned him, Peavy. This is Micah Peavy, the Pel's second-round draft pick this year.
How was it getting on the court with everybody? You have obviously put into it to start.
Yeah, I mean, it felt good to be out there with my teammates. I think we're going to do really good out there in summer league, and we can show everybody what we got.
What is something that you want to show?
It's not my dog. I just make winning plays. I want to guard the best player on the court. So I want to show what I can do.
When you got drafted here, obviously I know you were excited, but like, how good of an opportunity is this? How good of a fit do you feel like you are on this team?
I feel like it's a really good fit. I was super excited. Me and my agents were talking about this place, and that's one of the places I want to go to. I can learn from guys like Trey and just defensive-minded guys, and the coaching staff loves guys like that. So I'm so excited to play with these guys and play for the coaches as well.
They've developed a lot of defensive wings. Is that a part of, like, maybe what attracted you to, like, being here?
For sure. That's exactly what attracted me. I see this is a place that I can grow as a player and play a lot of minutes in the league someday.
You knew a lot about the two guys that were drafted with you before you came here, but what's it been like the last couple of days of being out on the court with them?
It's been really cool. We get along off the court as well, so that makes it easy when we're on the court. They're both guys who love to win, who love to play with a lot of guys, so I'm liking it a lot.
I just saw you dap out Willie a minute ago.
Yeah.
What has been your impression of him so far?
I mean, I like him a lot. Like I said, I like how he plays the defensive wings, and he was just talking about my defense and how it's going to get me on the court. So I'm going to just keep doing that.
Why do you take so much pride?
A lot of guys don't like playing defense. And I love it. I don't like being scored on. I don't like the other team getting buckets. So I just like to take pride in that and get some stops.
Have you always kind of been that way?
Yeah, that's ever since I was little. That's my dad's a coach, and that's what he preaches. So that's I've always been like that.
What are some of your impressions of getting to play with Eve so far?
Just throw it up there. He don't catch everything. He guards. So it's easy. And it's when me, him, Fears, and everybody's on the court guarding, it's fun to watch and it's fun to play with. So.
What have you seen from Fears and Queen's game so far, and even maybe before?
Yeah, they're dogs. They're both really great players. Fears can really score, and Queen, he can just play. He can pass, he can shoot, he can do everything. So I can't wait for them to show what they got against, you know, some older guys in the league. So, yeah.
You talk a lot about defense because you found some consistency offensively last year. What's the focus for you on that side of the court?
Just knocking down that corner three. I got to be ready to shoot. I got to show that I can shoot at this level. It's deeper. It's a different ball, but I think I'm going to show that I can shoot at this level.
From just like an X's and O's standpoint, just what has been something you've noticed that is different here in like the NBA level than maybe something that, you know, you did in college?
I wouldn't say it's that different. I feel like at Georgetown, Ed Cooley, we run a lot of NBA sets. We spread the ball out and we play. A lot of guys in the corner just be ready to shoot. It's kind of the same, honestly.
Does that give you comfort into going to summer league, knowing that, like being prepared, I guess, in that?
It does, yeah. I'm not scared of anything. I'm just ready to play. I haven't played in a long time since March, so I can't wait to show what I've been working on this offseason.
That's Pel's second-round draft pick, Micah Peavy. Comes in a little seasoned, 23 years old, had a stellar senior year at Georgetown, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3.6 assists per game. Also shot 48% from the field and 40% from three-point range last year. So this isn't no throwaway second-round pick.
This is why he got drafted, was he made the steady improvement throughout his collegiate career. And it was a long college career, don't get me wrong. He's an older prospect.
Right.
There's a reason that he was a second-round selection. But if he can make the three ball consistently at the NBA level, there's a spot on almost every team for someone like Micah Peavy.
You heard there Willie Green dapping him up. He likes his new defensive piece.
Tenacious defense, three-point shooting, the definition of 3 and D, right? Those wings that always have a spot at the NBA level.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we return, we'll hear from a guy that's expected to have a big surge in year two, Eve Missy, coming back right after the break here on WWL.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been busting down the Pelicans, getting ready for summer league action, and the guy who'll be taking part is second-year center Eve Missy. He was the NBA All-Rookie second teamer a year ago after being the 21st overall selection for the Pels in the 2024 NBA draft. Let's take a listen to what Eve's had to say as he gets ready for the summer league.
You look like you put on a little weight. Have you?
Yeah, a little bit. Working on my strength, obviously, getting a little bigger. Being pushed around, so that's a goal for the entire summer.
What did you learn maybe in that first year in the NBA that told you, okay, one of the first things we need to work on is getting bigger and like getting stronger?
I mean, the league is more physical addition every year, so we have guys that are like 250 and above, mostly center, so I can get up there. Obviously, don't mess around with my athleticism. Obviously, try to guard this guy every night, so that's the main thing for me to work with bigger. So.
Eva, are you looking forward to going to Vegas again?
Yeah, sure, son.
But what do you want? What do you want to kind of accomplish out there?
Just out there, go out there and compete. Mostly win some games compared to last year. Obviously, trying to play with my new team, so it should be fun.
What have been your impressions of the new guys, especially Jeremiah and Dick?
Great players. Obviously, DQ, someone who can play almost everywhere. Great IQ. Jeremiah about the same thing. Great point guard. He can read the ball straight easily. So he's a great player with them.
DQ comes off as a very confident player. Does he show that on the court? Is he talking trash like during practice and stuff like that as well?
I mean, obviously he's talking, and that's good. I mean, we all like this stuff. So just that being competitive, obviously, that's what we love here. So that's good. I like it.
Are you looking forward to playing with him in terms of being able to play off of him with some of his passing?
Yeah, obviously, we're trying some stuff, obviously, for the summer league when we were playing around. And then just play he and I on the court and then see how it looks like it. I like it so far.
How do you see you all complementing off each other's game in that between?
I would say on defense, I can see because he brings size. So on the rebounding side, he's better. Now guys have to worry about him and I. And obviously, in the offense, he can play make for everyone, not only me. And I can just play off him. Game guys attracted to around him and then just build that.
And you being obviously a rookie center last year, coming into this league as a rookie, like what's maybe your biggest advice to him? Like what are you trying to tell him about maybe the adjustment for summer league and then for like NBA game?
I would say just be hard. We all gonna make mistakes, just be hard. Try to cover your mistake by playing hard. It don't matter. At the end of the day, it's just basketball. So you're gonna make some mistake, I'm gonna make some mistake, I'll keep going and then I'll eat on the defensive or defensive side.
What are your impressions of the ball handling that Fears and Queen both have? It seems like they're both pretty elite at that.
Oh yeah, they're great ball handler. Obviously I can play all that, and he's making stuff easier for me and everyone else, to be honest.
On the court, what was the biggest thing that you wanted to improve this offseason?
Like I said, get bigger and my finishing, I face on time. I just gotta focus a little more. It's not something I can love you to do, I just gotta be focused a little more. So also that's another thing for me.
Eve Missy, Pelicans big man, and definitely so interested to see what he does in year two. One of the really smart selections by this squad last year. A lot of people doubted what Missy could do, and he kind of surged early on, had a little, I guess, dip in production, but I felt still finished pretty strong, all things considered, with this Pels roster being so banged up.
Yeah, he made an all-rookie team as a 21st overall pick. That's a good selection for the Pelicans. And Missy, you know, we spoke with Eichenhofer in the first part of this hour, Steve, about it. You have high expectations for him.
Still growing.
This is a guy that first touched a basketball basically half a decade ago. What can he turn into? He goes from Baylor. He was seen as a raw prospect. He gets a ton of playing time in his rookie campaign with the Pelicans because they needed him because the center room was so bare. But he still performs, and he performs well. And, yes, he did slow down kind of in the back half of the year. That's normal for rookies. It's an 82-game season in the NBA. It's a gigantic jump.
He's broked up some this year.
From the 30-whatever games that they play in college basketball. But you heard it from Missy. his number one focus was to get bigger, to get stronger, and to be able to bang down low with the big centers in the NBA.
Let's go.
Get really, really excited listening to that. I can't wait to watch Misi play. He's basically number one on my list as far as these Pels young players. I think he's going to make a leap into year two.
Yeah, we'll see how much action he actually gets in summer league.
Right.
Taking a break here right now. We'll be back with more sports talk as we close things out after this on WWL. Thanks for tuning in tonight, folks. I will be taking a little break as we get ready for Saints training camp, taking the family to the beach. Tomorrow, though, on Sports Talk with Mike Dottiglia and guest host Jeff Nowak, who will be the NFL's breakout players for 2025+? Will LSU football restore that roar on defense? Locked on SEC host Chris Gordy will weigh in. Plus, when Pelicans Summer League tips off, which players are you most interested in? David Grubb, Pels reporter for the Bell Bird Rights, will drop by and talk about that. Have a great one, everybody. Talk to you after vacation. Who dat?
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.